All right, good morning. This is the first time I've spoken on a Easter service. Todd's not here, he's in Indonesia. He's doing a youth camp, or a university students camp over there over this weekend with my father, who's translating for him. So it's very different here on a Good Friday morning, actually. And I think partly at Field of Dreams, we never have a Sunday service. So we celebrate the entirety of Easter today, and that is the death and resurrection of the Lord. So Lord, I just welcome your life into this place. I thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life. That life and resurrection is in the person of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you this morning that the cross was the doorway that allows us to enter into life in you. We thank you, Lord, that we don't park at the door, but we cross over the threshold because you made the ultimate sacrifice to allow us to do so. And Lord, we thank you that during this season, we get to partake and remember everything that you have done for us so that we can enter into that life, that we can live in you, through you, by you, for you, and unto you, because you empower us and made a way for us to do so. So I thank you for the presence of your life in this room, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's where I wanted to start, is that the cross is a doorway. It's what we go through in order to lay hold of and actually walk in resurrection life. Resurrection life isn't that which we get after death, but resurrection life is what we enter into now because of his death. We actually get to live in the fullness of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ now. We get to partake in the fullness of that now because he made the way, he sacrificed his life for us to do so. And Todd's been talking, I think, over this last season about thresholds. And the cross is a threshold moment. Our salvation, when we receive Jesus Christ, we actually cross a threshold. And at every threshold, there's a test and there's a sacrifice. And Jesus gave himself as that sacrifice. But what we need to understand is we're co-crucified with him. That all we have to do is exchange death for life. All we have to do is lay down the death in order to receive his life. In John 12, 25, it says, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And that doesn't actually mean to hate your life, like to despise your life. Life is a gift from the Lord. But it means to love it less, to have it in right order, to not cling to the things of the earth or the things of the world, but to have your value system firmly sat or sitting in heavenly matters, that your eternal life is of significantly higher value than your earthly one. And then that allows you to say, "Death, where is your sting?" Because the highest value to you, the highest value of life is that of eternal life. And therefore, death is only a way into that. Jesus' death provided us a way into eternal life. So I want to quickly speak about Easter. And every time I read that, I see Esther. And the Lord keeps speaking to me about how she was a type, that actually she prepared herself and she laid down her life, or was willing to lay down her life for a people, but that's a whole nother message. Easter, and I want to speak about memorial stones, because we've been speaking in Sunday afternoons about internal governance, and that is where the Lord comes, and when we surrender our life to him, he pulls down the structures and he takes away the things that we built outside of him. And then we learn how to build in him. And building in him requires us to put pillars or structures in our lives, but that are created by him and with him instead of by ourselves and because of trauma. We went through a number of examples of pillars a couple of weeks ago, but I stopped at this one because I wanted to speak about it this morning, and that is the memorial stone of Easter. And the memorial stone of coming back to the cross, seeing the cross as a door, going through that into resurrection life, but continuing to come back to that place, the place of remembering him, of gratitude for everything that he's done. Each one of us has a salvation story or a salvation experience, and if you don't, you're welcome to come and get one at the end of the service. This story or this experience in your life should be a significant altar or a significant memorial stone that you keep coming back to and remembering with such a grateful heart. For some of us, it's a radical story of a shift going one direction with fruit being bared of our own ways to a radical shift in the opposite direction where we walk on the pathways of the Lord with new fruit. It's absolutely radical, complete transformation. For some, it's the wooing. It was the wooing of the Lord, the gentle pulling in of him, and then one day we fell in love. And for some who were born into Christian families, maybe a progressive awakening to the realities and experience of salvation as we started to understand more and more of who he was to us. But each one is meaningful and powerful. And if we establish it in our life as a pillar and continue to build upon it the experiences of salvation with the Lord as we outwork him, it becomes something strong that we can build on, that our families can build on, and that our community can then build on, that strength of our testimony of what it is to be saved. It's so meaningful, but it's so simple, and it's this, and this is what the pillar should say. He saved me. So simple, so powerful, he saved me. And what you can build on that one reality, that one truth, he saved me, is an entire life of the kingdom of heaven. You can build an entire community, and you can build the bride, you can build the body of Christ on that one truth. If we just understood what that one simple truth meant, he saved me. So I wanted to make sure that this had its own category when I was talking about building memorial stones, building altars in our lives that we can live off of, the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the most powerful of all sacrifices, of all actions, promises, character and nature of the Lord, the demonstration of love that one would lay down his life for another. The most powerful thing we could ever build on. Maybe we could see ourselves die for someone we love. Maybe. But what about for those who hate us, persecute us, speak against us? In Romans 5, 7 to 8, so we're building upon this truth. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That while we despised him and rejected him, that while we were seeking everything but him and kept looking past him every time he presented himself to us as the answer and the way, he still died for us. And that's something worth building on, that truth. Where he looked at me, not a superhero fantasy person, a man. A man looked at me, and while I kept looking elsewhere, on every other path to every other possible solution, at everything else, he went to that death for the chance that I would choose him. Not the guarantee. He wasn't guaranteed that I would choose him. He wasn't guaranteed that you would choose him. But he so loved you that even in the midst of our despising him and looking elsewhere, He looked and saw that if only for a chance, I'll die. That's a significant love. That's a truth worth coming back to and understanding. He didn't force you into it. He made a way for you. And for that chance, he looked at me and he said, for the chance of relationship with you, I will go to that death. When Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, this is the same as building an altar. The ultimate sacrifice was laid in that place. Communion is our memorial stone, the place we return to continue to remember and to build in us the image of Christ, the one who laid down his life for us. In Luke 22:19, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I think I said a moment ago that some have had radical conversions, radical experiences. Build an altar there. I know that the altar that Todd built when he was saved, and that memory that he keeps coming back to and preaching, that we all partake of, that not only has pulled him back to the Lord on many occasions, that the memorial stone of coming back to that, but he saved me, and I know what that looked like, and I know what that felt like, and I keep remembering, and he's built this place in his world of what that was, that experience was in the Lord, and that I know has pulled him back into the Lord many times, especially in the first few years. No, I felt it. I met him. And because he fortified that through remembering it and retelling it and testifying it, it actually became a really strong pillar in his life. But not only that, his testimony has inspired many and become a pillar in other people's lives. It's like, well, if he could meet you in that place, in that way, he can meet me in that place. Some people have these rolling and marking encounters and surrenders. Build an altar there and build further on those places as you continue to get an increase of revelation of who he is. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. If he's wooing you, start to build the altar and then continue to build upon it as he pulls you in gently, dealing with the issues in your life that prevent you from choosing him. But allow him to gently woo you and build that altar in your life. Remember them, record them, return to them with thanksgiving, remembering the one who saved you, the one who met you, walked with you, who kept returning, or you kept returning to him, who was always a constant. Communion is the action of remembering, to recall the sacrifice that made a way. But it is a personal experience. There is the generic scriptures of what Christ did for us, and we can build on those. But there is also the personal way he met us, the very personal and unique way he came to us and met us exactly where we were at that time, the unique way he wooed us and built with us. So what I want to do is just spend that moment and remember your salvation experience. It says, it talks about not just God, but God to you, who he was to you, recalling not just the sacrifice in general, but the result of the sacrifice to you personally. Christ crucified in your life, Christ resurrected in your life, Christ raised in you, in your life. It's not an idea or a philosophy, but we build on a point of engagement where he met us. Where did he meet you? Where was that moment he met you? What did he change for you? Build an altar. Remember him in that place. And then remember that he met you every single day of your life since then. And on that truth, you can build your entire life. You can build everything on the truth. He saved me and he met me where I was. And he walked me out into salvation. I'm going to leave that there. Can we just put the pads on and grab our communion? Let's just stand up actually for a moment. Jesus, we just thank you. That you looked at each one of us. And notwithstanding where our hearts were, and that our hearts were against you, and our hearts were in the opposite ways of you. And notwithstanding that some of us weren't even seeking you, that you looked at each one of us and you chose that cross for the chance that we would choose you. And Lord, it says that your gentleness has made us great. And in the process of us choosing you, Lord, you met us exactly where we were. And you have walked with us every single day since. You have never left us. And Lord, we just thank you for that truth right now. And we thank you for this communion where we can continue to come back and remember and recall your goodness and your faithfulness. Your deep love for us demonstrated in action. That you would so desire relationship with us. That you would surrender your life. And make a way for us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And we love you and we honor you and we receive you. You can take your communion.